can't. He'll be leaving afterward. Then what will you do? Go traipsing after him like some overaged groupie? Gaeta opened his eyes, turned toward her, and smiled. Cardenas felt her heart melt for him. "What time is it?" he mumbled, raising his head enough to see the digital clock.
"Early," Cardenas whispered. "Go back to sleep."
"Big test today," he said. "The snowball fight."
"Not yet. Go back to sleep."
"Nah, I'm up." Cardenas reached for him.
"Why, so you are," she said with an impish grin.
The phone buzzed. "Ach, mierda! Audio only," Cardenas told the phone. Holly's face took shape at the foot of the bed.
"Can't talk long. Just gotta tell you, Kananga tried to kill me, and I'm on the run. I'll buzz later when I can."
And her image winked out, leaving the two of them staring at emptiness.
"Snowball fight. Pay attention," Fritz snapped. Inside the massive suit, Manny blinked. Fritz was right. His thought had wandered. That's the dangerous part of this love thing. It made it hard to concentrate on the business at hand. We'll be at Saturn in a few days, and I'll do the rings. If it clears enough profit, then fuck Titan and Urbane and all those uptight cositas. I'll just take the money and run home. With Chris? Will she come with me? Do I have the guts to ask her to? He almost laughed. The most fearless stuntman in the whole solar system, and I'm scared to death she'd turn me down. Where's your cojones, tough guy? The banging on his suit startled him. Fritz was whacking at the suit's armored chest with the flat of his hand, as high up as he could reach. "Wake up in there," Fritz hollered. "I'm awake," said Gaeta. "These days you spend too much time in bed and not enough time sleeping." "I'm awake," Gaeta repeated peevishly. From inside the suit, Fritz looked like a cranky little guy standing out there scowling at him, not even as tall as Gaeta's shoulder. Together with the four other technicians, they were standing in a sealed-off section of corridor that led to one of the habitat's major airlocks, big enough to handle bulky equipment. Gaeta had marched in and, at Fritz's order, turned his back to the airlock hatch. Now he could see, down where they had sealed the corridor from the rest of the habitat, half a dozen fans that the techs had set up. Three of the techs were lugging heavy plastic jugs of water and placing them in precisely marked spots on the corridor's floor of metallic squares. Beside each of the fans stood a dark metal tube encased in a copper-colored magnetic coil, looking to Gaeta like a cross between laboratory contraption and a shotgun. The fourth tech was loading them with ball bearings. "This simulation will only last a few seconds," Fritz said, "but it is designed to give you a feeling for what you will encounter in the ring." "I know all that, Fritz," Gaeta said impatiently. "Let's get on with it." As unperturbed as if he had not heard a syllable, Fritz went on, "The water will vaporize into ice crystals and the fans will blow them at you. The electromagnetic guns will fire the pellets that simulate larger pieces of ice at approximately Mach 1.3. "And I stand here and take it all in the face," said Gaeta. "I trust the suit will not be penetrated," said Fritz. "The self-sealing gunk will stop any leaks. Temporarily. Long enough for this test. But not long enough to save you once you're out in the ring. Which is why we're running this sim, to see if the suit holds up, so let's get on with it." Fritz gazed up at him, his expression somewhere between discontent and anxiety. "Come on, Fritz," Gaeta urged. "Let's get it over with." With a shake of his head, Fritz led the other techs past the airtight door that sealed off the end of the corridor section. Gaeta saw it close. "Pumping down the chamber," Fritz's voice said in his helmet earphones. "Pump away," said Gaeta. The only aspect of his flight through Saturn's B-ring that this test couldn't simulate was the lack of gravity. Gaeta didn't think that was important. He had experienced micro-G many times. It wasn't a problem for him. But standing in the middle of a super blizzard and allowing himself to be pelted by supersonic stainless steel ball bearings, that was something else. Like facing a firing squad. "Yeah," he said to himself, "but I'm inside an armored suit. Like Superman. Those bullets will just bounce off my chest." He hoped.
James Coleraine Wilmot sat alone in his living room, staring into infinity. "Ruined, tripped up by my own stupidity." He sighed heavily. "Oh, I could fight him. Most of the population here is in this habitat because they couldn't stand the rules and regulations that were strangling them. So I have a rather bizarre taste in entertainment. I could offer to take counseling, even psychotherapy. I don't have to knuckle under this snotty Eberly and his clique. Not unless I want to. He thought about that. Not unless I want to. Why should I go through this embarrassment and stress of public revelation, public ridicule, accusations and defenses, excuses, pleading for understanding? No, I won't subject myself to all that. I can't. In a way, actually, this is better than ever. Now I'm totally removed from any semblance of control, any hint of responsibility. The experiment is completely free now from any possible interference. I'll have to inform Atlanta about that. He hesitated, frowning. Eberly's been watching every move I make, every communication, even what I do here in the supposed privacy of my own quarters. He's watching me now. What to do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Atlanta will find out about this power play of Eberly's soon enough. They must have plenty of spies scattered through the population.
Holly had debated for hours about calling Chris. At last she decided she would do it from a phone up topside. She didn't want Kananga or anyone else to know that she was using the underground tunnels as her hiding place. So just before the habitat's solar windows opened for sunrise, she climbed up the ladder that opened into the cafeteria's storeroom. She could hear people stirring in the kitchen just beyond, pots clanging and voices calling back and forth. A robot trundled in from the kitchen, rolled right past her, and went to a shelf where it grasped a carton of preserved fruit in its gripper-tipped arms. Then turned a precise 180 degrees, rolled past her again, and pushed through the double doors to the kitchen. Holly tiptoed to the wall phone near the kitchen door and made her hurried call to Chris. "Somebody's got to know that I'm alive and being hunted by Kananga," she told herself. After her swiftly spoken message to Chris, she went back down to the trap door, down the ladder, and ran nearly a kilometer along the main tunnel before slumping down to the floor, panting. "You flamin' dim-dum," she said to herself. "You were in the warp and storeroom, and you never thought to get something to eat. Stupid." Her stomach agreed with a growl.
"She made a call," Kananga asked eagerly. "When? From where?" His aide, wearing the black tunic and slacks that Kananga demanded for his security staff, replied, "From the cafeteria storeroom, sir, about an hour ago." "An hour ago?" Kananga snarled, rising from his desk chair. The woman glanced at her handheld. "Actually, 52 minutes ago, sir." "And you're just telling me now?" "We only had a skeleton staff on at the time, sir. They can't monitor every phone in the habitat in real time. It's..." "I want an automated program set up immediately. Use her voice print as the key to trigger an automatic alarm. Immediately."
"Yes, sir."
"This woman is a dangerous psychopath. She's got to be apprehended before she kills someone else." The aide scampered from Kananga's office and his baleful glare. He slowly settled himself back in his chair. "The cafeteria, of course. She's got to eat. We'll simply stake out teams at the cafeteria and the restaurants. She'll be drawn to the food sooner or later. And once she is, we'll have her."
Gaeta had never been in a blizzard, never tried to trudge through drifts of snow while a cold wind battered at him and drove flakes of ice stinging against his face. For nearly half a minute, though, he faced the fiercest maelstrom that Fritz's ingenuity could devise. Ice crystals flew all around him, enveloping him in a blinding whirl of gleaming, glinting white. Steel pellets peppered him, rattling against his armored suit so loudly that Gaeta knew it was going to crack. He worried especially about the faceplate. It was bulletproof, he knew, but how bulletproof could it be? He was being machine-gunned, strafed by supersonic pellets of stainless steel. Yet he stood it. He remained on his feet and even took a few plodding steps upstream, into the blinding whiteout blowing at him. The rattling of the pellets was so loud, though, that he had trouble hearing Fritz's voice counting down the time in his helmet's earphones. All he could do was stand and take it, and look at the lighted displays splashed across the inside of his visor. Every damned light was green. Every monitor was showing that the suit was functioning normally. Whoops, one went yellow. Nothing important, he saw. One of the knee joints had suddenly lost lubrication. The backup came on, and the light switched back to green. The noise was damn